Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we've been seeing, of course, in the book of Hebrews this section, and it's pretty special. Hebrews 11 is called that. In fact, it is called the Hall of Fame of Faith because as you go down through it, almost every verse begins by faith, verse 3, by faith, verse 4, by faith, verse 5, by faith, verse 8, by faith, verse 9, and all the way down, it's by faith, and it's a number of people in the Scripture, in the Bible, who took God at His Word. And that's what faith really is taking God at His Word. And this chapter can be a great encouragement to us because as we see those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, trusted God's salvation plan, and then to live out their faith day by day. That's what we want to do is be men and women of faith. We have the same plan. We're to live by faith. Remember this, and we talked about it last week, that faith is simply taking God at His Word. That's what it means. We began last week looking at Hebrews 11, and it's special because faith is a key in not only in our relationship with God, but our fellowship with God. Think about that. In our relationship, we come to God by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. When we trust in Jesus for eternal life, we have a relationship with Him. But then there's the fellowship aspect. It's a walk of faith as we live our lives based on the Word of God, seeking to make a difference for Jesus Christ. It's a walk of faith. So all of that ties together. This morning, we look at our study. There's two aspects. There's a little background, and that's the idea of faith. And then there's faith in action as we go down through all of these different things and see all these different people. And last time, we began just kind of getting background on faith. But this morning, we're going to begin to see the statement. And this, it says, by faith, we understand that our worlds were prepared. That's the word he used. We'll talk about what that word means in a minute. By the Word of God. We call this creation by faith. So there's so much there. When you look around and we look at our world, it is amazing. When you think about the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the vastness of space and the planets and the mountains and the trees and the oceans and the animals, and we raise the question, how did all this get here? That's the question so many try to answer, try to figure out. Was there a creator behind our world? Did he speak it into existence? Or are we a product of chance? I mean, somehow there was something there, and over long periods of time, this simple became more and more complex, progressing from simple to complex to being what we are now. How did it come about? Did God create? And especially when we think about us, because the Bible talks about us being made in the image of God. Or did this all come about by chance? And we are, man, at this moment, just at this stage, the highest level of this. As we look at our study this morning in the book of Hebrews, we're going to see the first statement of faith is about creation. It deals with God and creation. What does the Bible say? And here's the key for all of us who know Christ as Savior. What's the authority? What do you look to? Where are you going to say, this is what I believe? Where do you go back to? The Scripture. Maybe gain from our study of this faith chapter. We saw last time and begin by looking at the importance of faith, and we talked about it being our basis for our relationship and fellowship. Let me remind you of that, throw that up again there. By our relationship, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So our relationship with God, which is an eternal relationship, comes by faith. Colossians 2:6 says, you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, we received Him by faith, so walk in Him. Our whole fellowship is actually a walk of faith, and that's how we seek to live. And we talked about a definition of faith, and we said this, that definition of faith is simply put, faith is just taking God at His Word. Faith is saying that God says this, I believe that is true. I take God at His Word. I trust that whatever God says is right and true. You know, we live in a country now that people don't have much for faith. I mean, there was an old way that you could just give your word, and you say, oh, I'll do that, and you shook hands with somebody, and you say, I'll be there. And your word was good. But nowadays, we got contracts and everybody's trying to break them and look then and see where there's the loopholes and everything. But the great truth is that whatever God says is exactly true. And it's always right. And we can take God at His Word. His promises, His plans, His statements, we can trust them. As we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we see not only the background of faith, but we're going to see faith in action. We're going to see people who believed God, and then they basically did what God told them to do. That's what we're going to see as we go this. We said our definition of faith is taking God at His Word, and we talked about walking by faith, and that's basically taking the truths and principles that God has revealed and living those out in our lives, which ultimately is pleasing to God. Now, let me remind you of something before we get into the passage. We spent last week and we looked at four keys of faith. And it's very important. I'm just going to touch on them. I'm not going to go into hardly any detail compared to what we did last week. But the first key of faith is this. Faith always has an object. There is always something to believe. There's no such thing as somebody saying, well, just believe. We say, just believe what? There is an objective truth that we must believe. And so if you say, you need to believe in Jesus, believe what? When we say, how are you saved? You're saved by faith. Faith in what? Well, just faith in Jesus. What do you mean? We say we believe in Jesus who died for us, paid for our sins and rose again, and offers us the gift of eternal life. He promises eternal life. We're trusting in Jesus for eternal life. Faith has an object, always does. I used the example last week of the leap of faith. People say, well, sometimes it's just a leap of faith. And we use the example of the guy walking on a mountain and he falls and he grabs hold to a branch and he thinks he's going to fall to his death. And this voice says to him, hey, it's dark and everything and he doesn't know where he is. And this voice says, hey, just below you, 6 inches below you is a big ledge. All you have to do is just let go. People say, well, that's a leap of faith. You just let go. No, his faith is in that voice who tells him that there's a ledge below him. Faith always has an object. We talked about that last week. Second, the object of our faith, it's supposed to be for believers, is the Word of God. The object of our faith for believers is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. See, the object of our faith is the Scripture. We believe in Jesus Christ because the Scripture told us that He died and rose again, and we trust in Him, and we have eternal life. The third one is a key one. It is not the amount or the quality of faith, but the object of our faith. You can say, I really believe in Buddha, and He's not going to save you. You can put all your trust in Buddha. You can be sincere as you want to be, and the amount of faith or the sincerity of your faith does not save you. The object of your faith saves you. I can put all my faith in Buddha, and I'm not saved. I can put my faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, and I have eternal life. So it's not the amount of faith. And if people come up to you and they say, did you really believe? It's not a question of really believing. You either believe or you don't. There is no really believing or partially believing. You either believe or you don't. Faith has an object, and it's not the amount or the quality of faith, but the object of our faith. That is the key. The fourth one is faith brings approval from God. Hebrews 11:2, by faith, men of old gained approval, verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we saw those, and that's why you need to understand that we're telling people that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and whoever puts their faith in Him, He's the object of the faith for salvation. The Word of God is the object of our faith to know and understand, and it's not how much faith we have, it's the object of our faith is the key. And when we live by faith, God is pleased. Now, what we're going to do as we go this morning, we're going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Let me break down the passage for you just so you can see it. In verse 1, it's sort of a description of faith. It's not really a definition of faith. It's a description. And then verse 2 is the results of faith. Men gained approval. And then in verse 3, I call it creation by faith. And we're going to see what does the Bible say about how all of this came about? And we'll see what the Scripture has to say. So let's begin, but first of all, with a description of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1, notice what it says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, the writer, of course, of this book, we don't know who it is, but he's writing to Jewish people. That's why it's called Hebrews. He's writing to these Jewish people, and he's using what we call Hebrew parallelism in verse 1. He says the same thing twice. He says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He's basically saying the same thing. He says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Assurance in the Greek actually means the foundation, the title deed, the concrete body of truth. He says, faith is, you're putting it in something. You have a title deed, you have a foundation, you have a body of truth. He says, faith is that assurance, that title deed of things that you hope for. And remember, hope means a conviction of something. It doesn't mean something that we hope is going to happen, but a conviction. And he goes on to say, it's the conviction of things not seen. When you think of faith, sometimes we think of faith as things that hadn't happened yet. But faith can go both ways. Let me show you what Charles Ryrie says faith is. He says, faith is the things which are unseen. Looking at things that are unseen as if they're already objects of sight. And that's for future things. That's like saying, do you believe this is going to happen? And we say, well, if the Bible says it, I believe that. That's faith. But I want you to see something else. F.F. Bruce is a kind of a famous scholar. And he said, there's really two ways of looking at faith, both backward and forward. And look at the next slide. He says, there are things that God has done. We believe there are things that God has done. We weren't there. And we take God at his word. But we also believe that there are things that God will do. And that hadn't happened as well either. And so faith is basically looking forward and backward. And so he says that faith is, in the next slide, is a assurance, a conviction. And let me raise this question just for you to think for this morning. What are some things that we take by faith from the word of God? Number one, Jesus offers eternal life by faith. We believe that Jesus Christ offers us eternal life. Now, there are a lot of Christians that don't even understand what the salvation message is. The gospel is this: Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, conquering death. Thus, response to the gospel is that we trust Jesus Christ for eternal life. We believe that he's offering to us an eternal relationship with him simply by faith. So we take that as true. 1 Timothy 1:16 talks about that Paul says, I'm the example of all those who believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. I hope and pray, every one of you in this room, that you have trusted in Jesus Christ to give you eternal life. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not, I trust in Jesus to have a good life. I trust in Jesus to make it through college. You're trusting Jesus Christ to give you an eternal relationship. It's called eternal life. And that's the key. And we take that by faith. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, paying for our sins. He rose again, conquering death. He walked on the earth for 40 days. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And the gift, the offer that God gives to us is eternal life by faith. We come to God by faith, taking the gift of eternal life. Second, you know what else? We believe that death's not the end. We take that by faith. Because there are people who die. We have loved ones that die, and we say, we're going to what? We're going to see them again. We believe that. Because Jesus Christ not only died on the cross to pay for sin, but he rose from the grave to do what? Conquer death. Death is conquered. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. For us as believers, we believe that death is not the end. I don't think any of you have died and come back, right? Okay, Jesus is the first one to die and rise from the grave, okay? So we could say we have not experienced death not being the end. We see people die and we go, well, we believe that's not the end. The Bible actually tells us in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in our hearts. We know that there's something after this. And we believe by faith that God has conquered death and death is not the end. The third thing, you know what we believe? Jesus is going to come get us. If I asked you, I said, what's the next event that's going to happen? And almost every one of you in this room would say, one of these days, Jesus is going to come in the clouds. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him, and thus we'll meet the Lord in the air. We believe that the next event is what often people call the rapture, that Jesus is going to come in the clouds and take us out. Do you not hold of that? But that hadn't happened yet. And that's by faith. If you said, what's the next event? Say, Jesus is coming to get us. I'll be glad when Jesus comes. 1 Thessalonians says that. 1 Corinthians says that we'll be changed. This old mortal body will put on immortality. It's called the blessed hope. And the Bible tells us we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. There's another thing that we take by faith. And that is that the trials and problems are going to work for good. Every one of us have trials and problems in our life, and they come in, and sometimes they crush us, and sometimes they mess our whole lives up, and we go through them. But we say, you know, God works all things together for good. It didn't say all things were good. It said God works all things together for good. We actually believe that the things that come into our life are actually for our good. Just like Joseph, who got sold by his brothers, who got thrown into prison, who basically, when it was all over, he said, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we believe that the events, the trials, the problems, the issues that come into our lives, God is going to work those for good. That's all faith. And so by faith, we believe Jesus is giving us eternal life. By faith, we believe that death is conquered. By faith, we believe Jesus is going to come back and get us. By faith, we believe that these things that happen to us every day are going to ultimately work together for good. And though we're taking those by faith. By faith. Are you and I, people of faith, taking God at his word, even in the things we haven't seen yet? From there, He then says the result of faith is that God is pleased. Look at verse 2. By it, by faith, the men of old gained approval. And when he says the men of old, he's really talking about everybody in chapter 11. We're going to see some of them are men and women, but he just lumps it together and says, by it, men of old gained approval from God. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you want to hear him say, well done, what? Good and faithful. Faithful is a person of faith. Faithful is doing what God told you to do. You believe God and you do it, and you want to hear him say, good job. That's how you gain approval. By faith, men of old gained approval. We know from Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. Do we want to please God? In Romans chapter 8, it actually says this, that in our flesh, it's impossible to please God in our flesh, only by faith. God is pleased when you trust him. He is pleased when you trust him for salvation, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and you're saved forever. God is pleased when you walk by faith, when you live the Christian life, basing your life on the Word of God, saying, I'm going to live my life based on the Scripture. God is pleased as you're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, as you're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. That's faith. Now that takes us to the third thing. And this is a little bit different, but this is creation by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3 talks about the creation. Let me read it. Listen what it says. Look at it with me. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We could say it this way. By faith, of course, we're taking God at his word. By faith, we know that God spoke our world, universe, all that is there, into existence. And this verse actually says that he made it out of nothing, because he says it was things that weren't seen. It was things that weren't there. He made the things that are seen out of things that weren't seen. We understand. I want you to look at the verse with me for just a second. By faith, and this is saying we taking God at his word, we understand. The word understand there is a unique word. There's a Greek word that means gnosko, which means to come to know something. This is a word very similar to it, has an idea of learning something, but it's something like you begin to comprehend it. You go, oh, yeah. By faith, we comprehend that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice something. It didn't say our world. It says worlds. It's a Greek word, aeonis, which actually means time periods. It means things. It's more than just saying this world was created by God. It's the whole thing, the whole concept of time, the whole concept of things, the whole concept of beings, the physical and the carrying on of creation, the entire system of creation. Notice it says, by faith we have come to understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. The word prepared is unique. It means to frame. It means like to fix. And so it's like God says, okay, I'm going to fix this and this, and I'm fixing it, and it's going to be this way. And he says, God put it together. By faith, we believe that. Now, I want to show you something unique. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. There are two Greek words for word. There's a word logos, which has an idea of a concept, and then there's the word rhema, which actually means an individual word. This is the word used here. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the individual Word of God. How did he do it? What did he do? He spoke it into being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be this. And God said, let there be this. He says, we come to know and understand that our worlds, our whole system, was put together by the spoken Word of God. You remember in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and God said, let there be this, and God said, let there be this, and God said, let there be this, and God said, let us create man in our image. I mean, on and on and on. I don't want you to have to turn there. I want to read something to you. This is Psalm 33. You can write it down. And this, beginning at verse 6, listen to what Psalm 33 says. And by the way, we don't know who wrote Psalm 33, but it's called Praise to the Creator. And here's what he says. by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And the word for Lord, if you've been in my Sunday school class, we're looking at the names of God. This is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If you've been in my Sunday school class, you know that this is the personal name of God, the eternal God. It says, for by the word of the eternal God, the heavens were made, and by his breath, all their host. That means the angels. It says, God spoke and made the heavens and the angels. Then he goes on and says, and he gathered waters of the sea together, and he put it all together, and let all the earth fear, and let all the inhabitants stand. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood. By faith, we believe that our eternal, all-powerful, sovereign God spoke all of this into being. Now, I know you're all smart and intellectual, and you've all been to college, and everybody knows everything, and our whole world doesn't believe that, and our whole world says something about evolution, or it says this, and oh, you really actually believe that God said something, and all this came about? I do, because I take God at his word. That's what I believe. In fact, notice what it says. By faith, we understand that the world's let's start it slow. Taking God at his word, we come to know that the worlds, the ages, the times, were put together by the spoken word of God. So that what is seen, this creation, was not made out of things which were visible. In other words, he didn't make the world out of something that was already there. God created the world out of nothing. That's what the scripture says. So if you said to me, JB, you actually believe God created the world out of nothing? I said, that's exactly what I believe. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for create is the word bara. It literally means to bring into existence. It means to build. It means to create. But it means the idea of making something out of nothing. The word bara is only used of God. It never says that a man created anything. We sit down and we say, I'm going to take some wood and I'm going to make this. And look at this, I made a wagon. You couldn't say, I bara that wagon, because I didn't create that wagon. I made that wagon, but I didn't create it. Only God creates. Only God brings into existence. Only God makes things out of nothing. And that's what he does. The world was created out of nothing by God's spoken word. And by faith, we believe that to be true. There's a whole lot of debate. In there, all you do is go on the campus. You got all kind of debate. You got most people think that if you actually believe that God created the heavens and the earth by faith and that he spoke it into being, that you're pretty stupid. But I have to go back to this as my authority, not some book on campus, but the word of God. Let me give you an idea that there's really two ways that everything either come about. It's either evolution or creation. Think about it. Evolution is that matter began, first of all, where did it come from? They start by saying, well, there was matter, and it blew up or something. I said, but where did that matter come from? If you're going to start, you can't start with nothing. You start with something, but there was nothing. So it doesn't add up to begin with. But they say there was stuff out there, and it began to go from lower to higher and from less complex to more complex, and then it comes up to be what we are today. That's evolution. But creation is that God spoke it into being by faith. We take God at his word. Let's think about it for a minute, because there's really three different ways. And one is what we call evolution. Another view is called theistic evolution or progressive creationism. And then a third view is called creationism. Let's talk about evolution for just a second. Evolution is whatever was here evolved over millions and millions and millions of years and became us now. Now, of course, we're still evolving. It's just so slow that someday it won't be us. It'll be something else. If you take it to be true. There's a second view called theistic evolution. It's also called progressive creationism. Now, it's actually theistic evolution, meaning that they think God brought it all about by some kind of evolutionary process, but they don't want to say evolution, so they sometimes call themselves progressive creationists. That sounds good, but it's not exactly right. What they mean is that I guess God kind of started it all, and then he made something, and he let all these animals kill each other and eat, you know, for a long time, and then he sort of let man kind of come in there a little bit, maybe evolve up to something, and then every now and then he steps in there and makes a decision to do some things. That's called progressive creationism. The problem with that, and one of the reasons that a lot of people like that is because if you're a Christian, you want to say, well, you know, everybody talks about evolution and it sounds right, and the Bible doesn't say that, but so I want to be the best of both worlds. I want to say that I'm a theistic evolutionist or a progressive creationist. The only problem with it, it doesn't fit the Scripture. It doesn't fit the Scripture. And that's really the third view, which is creation. And what does Hebrews 11 say? It says that we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word, spoken word of God, and so that everything that came about didn't come about from visible stuff, it came out of invisible stuff. So by faith we take God at his word. And so when you think about what you're going to believe, you're going to have to decide where you go back as your source of authority on what you believe. Let me say one thing, and you know, when I went to seminary, I've studied Hebrew and I've studied Greek and everything, and I did everything I can. I said, I'm going to go back, I'm going to look, what does the Bible actually say when it talks about creation? And if you read Genesis 1, 1 and 2, and if you read Hebrew, if you knew Hebrew, and Genesis 1 and 1 and 2, the whole message has been proclaimed from Adam and Eve all the way up, but it was first written down with Moses. Moses wrote the first five books called the Torah. What would a person who understood Hebrew, when they read Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 and all that, what would they understand about how the worlds came about? Because some people look at me and say, oh, see those days? It says in the beginning was, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and this was the first day, and this was the second day. And those were long, long time periods and everything, and that's what all that meant. But if you were a Hebrew and you read that, you wouldn't think that at all. Because if I said today, if I said, the word day, the Hebrew word for day is Yom, Y-O-M, like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. If I said day, like if I said, you know, in my father's day, they didn't have computers, you'd know I meant in a time period. But if I said 2 days ago, you would think what? 2 days ago. Or if I said, you know, we went to camp, and on the first day of camp, you'd say, well, that meant the first day. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the creation, it basically says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the... And by Hebrew mindset, evening and morning means a literal 24-hour time period, evening and morning. They do theirs different. They start their day in the evening. Tonight at 6 o'clock begins tomorrow for the Jewish people. It's the next day. So it's night and then day. They got that from God, evening and morning. And so when you read Hebrews... When you read Hebrew of Genesis 1, you said, in one day, evening and morning, he created this. And then on the second day, he did this. And on the third day. I want to read something to you, just so you don't have to turn there, in the book of Exodus. And I want you to think, what would a Jewish person understand? What would anybody understand when you read this? This is Exodus chapter 20. And this is God giving instructions to the Jewish people. He says, what I want you to do is remember the Sabbath day. Exodus 20, verse 9, that 6 days you shall work. Do you think they meant 6 literal days? Oh, no, no, we're going to work 6 long periods of time. No, what did you think they meant? 6 days you shall work. What do you think that meant? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because Saturday's the Sabbath, right? Okay. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of your Lord your God. It is the day you shall not do any work, or your sons or your daughters or anybody. And then he tells them why. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Do you think in their mindset, he said, you shall work 6 days because in 6 real long time periods? No, they knew that he meant 6 days. So here's a question for all of us. What's your view of origins? Evolution or creation? What do you go back to? Do you go back to the Word of God, or do you go to your science teacher? What are you going to do? Each one of you, each one of us, have to decide, are we going to take this by... I'm going with the writer of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews says that we understand by faith that God spoke the entire creation into being out of nothing. That's what I hold to. God made the worlds, the ages out of nothing by his spoken word, by faith. I believe that. Because it says it right here. Because remember, the object of our faith is the word of God. Now, is God still creating? He is. Psalm 139, He created me in my what? Mother's womb. Look at this next verse. You're going to love this verse. Look at this. Psalm 102 verse 18 says, "This will be written for the generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Every one of us were created in our mother's womb. By who? By the Creator, who spoke it all to existence. So what have we seen? We've seen description of faith, sort of. We've seen the result of faith, that God is pleased. We've seen the creation by faith. God spoke the world. And next time, we're going to see a sacrifice of faith. So let me give you just a couple of quick applications. First of all, understand that God is the Creator. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 11 says He formed everything by His word. If you look at Genesis, I think the next slide, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created them, and there is Exodus 28-11, He did this. You can take that back off right this second. Colossians 1:16, what does it say? All things were created by Him and for Him and through Him. And so I want you to understand something, that this Creator, God who is the Creator, who so loved us, wants you, who He created, to have a relationship with Him. And that comes by faith. And that's why I wanted to put up there to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If you do not know Christ as Savior, if you've never understood this, Jesus died on the cross for you, paid for sins, and rose again. And you can put your faith in Him for eternal life, and you'll be saved forever, because the one who created you wants you to be with Him forever. Second application, let's live a life of faith, pleasing God. That's what we want to do. It's a walk of faith, by the way. It's a walk of faith that you take God at His word, and you take His word and you say, I'm going to live out the truths and principles from the Bible, because that's what He says. I belong to Him. I want to obey Him. I want to live for Him. In fact, I think we got the next one. It says, we've been bought but with a price by Jesus Christ, so glorify God in our lives. So, live a life pleasing to God. Now, I know it's a challenge, and especially for young people, because you've heard something else all your life, and you, when you look at this, you say, well, they don't really know, because that's not science, and science is what's right. And let me just say this, when it comes right down to it, the Bible is always right. Always right. I know you probably think, okay, I'm not very educated. I'm not very smart. I am educated, but I'm not very smart. But I believe the Bible, and that's the key.